We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to be reading from the Rockcliffe Review about Joshua and his great generation. Now, the Rockcliffe Review is the bulletin we pass out to all those who assemble with us on Sunday mornings at the meeting house at Rockcliffe, and I usually have in the bulletin something that has to do with a sermon I'm going to preach that morning, and as was the case with this bulletin. Let me read this to you. Joshua and his great generation. Joshua was born a slave in Egypt, but as a young man he was baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 2. In the wilderness, Joshua led the fight against the Amalekites who attacked Israel in Rephidim. Exodus 17, 8 through 16. He was among those who saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking when God spoke at Sinai. Exodus 20, 18 and 19. He accompanied Moses as his minister. When Moses went up to the Mount of God, Exodus 24:13, and departed not out of the tabernacle when the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, Exodus 33:11, Joshua was among the spies who returned from Canaan to report on the land. When 10 of the spies spoke against taking the land from the giant-like sons of Anak in their walled cities, it was Joshua and Caleb who said, "Rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us, and their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not." Numbers 14:9. This is where the congregation was ready to stone them with stones. Joshua is a hero because he had the courage to be faithful when that was not popular. God charged Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the land of promise. God said, "Be strong and of good courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." Joshua 1, 6 through 9. Joshua kept that charge. Joshua was a man of the book. In his last years, the old general did some preaching. One of his sermons is in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua said, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left." Joshua was still a man of the book. In another sermon, Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua 24:15. Joshua 24:31 tells us, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he'd done for Israel." Joshua was a great man of one of those greatest generations. Something went wrong. In Judges 2, 10 through 13, we read, "There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works that he had done for Israel. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth." In my youth, I tended to blame Joshua's generation for failing to teach their children. But I may have been too hasty in that judgment. The truth must not only be taught, it must also be received. Proverbs 30:11-13 tells us, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up." Tell me of generations that have not been taught. And I can tell you of generations that have refused instruction. We're experiencing another generation that wants to change the church. Their issues include instruments with or without singing, women leading the worship, and women elders, and praise band performances, and interdenominational fellowships. They write of the Church of Christ as though it were another denominational tribe. They say they're restudying these issues. I've read some of their studies. I do not think they have learned very much. They keep returning to the old arguments that have been repeatedly refuted, but they do not know how to refute them. Some study to be wise in their own eyes, and stop when they find what they want. Joshua admonished, "Choose ye this day." One generation chose to serve the Lord. Another chose the way of the people round about them. It was the book of the law of the Lord that made Israel distinctive. Those who left the book lost their identity. Those who leave the book still lose their identity. When a church makes changes contrary to the book in order to adapt to their culture, the members of that church are going to have to make some choices. Some will have the courage to be faithful when that is not popular, and they will be the next greatest generation. Well, that's our reading today from the Rockcliffe Review. And we read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And in our regular class period, we are studying a Sunday school lesson E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of July the 24th, 1927, about David and Goliath. Let me read to you 1 Samuel 17, 31 through 37, and then we'll look at the explanatory notes in this Sunday school lesson. Here we read, "And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go out against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said to Saul, Thy servant was keeping his father's sheep. And there came a lion, or a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant smote both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. And David said, Jehovah, that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, Go, and Jehovah be with thee. It's what David said about going out to fight the giant. That's what was rehearsed to Saul. And so Saul sent for him. David said, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. Saul said, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. Thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. To assure Saul that he was able, David related how he'd slain both a lion and a bear, and had rescued the lambs they had carried away, adding, And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David depended on God and realized by the Spirit of God which he possessed that God would deliver him. Saul said to David, Go, and Jehovah will fight with thee. Now, 1 Samuel 17, verses 38 and 39. And Saul clad David with his apparel, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he clad him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his apparel, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. This act of David seemed rash to Saul, and he had but little confidence, it seems, in David's ability to slay Goliath. Yet, if David would go, Saul clad him with his own armor. Saul's armor was similar to that of Goliath, except in weight. Worldly wisdom suggests that David could bear such armor as the giant whom he proposed to fight. David put Saul's armor on and tried to go, but he had not sufficient confidence in this. He had not proved it. He was unaccustomed to the armor, which could be used only by practice and skill. He discovered that it would be a hindrance rather than a help. So he said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them, and he put them off. This is worthy of note, that moved by the Spirit of God, David realized that he could not fight the Lord's battle with weapons made by human wisdom and skill. Human wisdom suggests that these are only possible means of success, but God's wisdom selected something else. Let these represent human wisdom and skill, human devices and plans. David laid aside all of these to fight the Lord's battle. And so we see the difference in what David chose and what Saul chose. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 40 through 44. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, which he had, even in his wallet, and the sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near to David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy, and withal a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh to the birds of the heavens and to the beast of the field. David's staff was doubtless the one he brought from home, his shepherd's crook. As he crossed the brook which flowed from the valley between the armies, he selected 5 smooth stones and put them in his wallet or his shepherd's bag. And with a sling in his hand, he drew near the Philistine. Not human skill and wisdom, but faith in God moved him, a tender, ruddy youth, to go thus against this giant. The weapons which he carried seemed wholly unfit to the end to be accomplished, yet moved by the Spirit, he went to conquer. God's way and means, now revealed by the Holy Spirit, seemed to many worldly wise people of the church to be inadequate to accomplish his purpose. Hence, they're trying to fight the Lord's battles in Saul's armor. As David approached the Philistine also came on and drew near David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. This man, Goliath's armor-bearer, bore the shield to ward off any strokes that might be made. Here's a marked contrast. The giant clad in the armor above described, with a man bearing a shield and a youth, a tender boy, with no armor-bearer and no weapons save his staff and his sling. To human wisdom, the giant must prevail and the boy must utterly perish. The appearance of David has before been described. Here it is given again, because it so filled the giant with disdain. Seeing David thus equipped, he raged with contempt. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Well, we're going to have to complete this in our next class.